Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and Advent leads to Christmas. And there are subtle hints that always occur in the liturgy. If you notice, the stoles are blue, which is the color of hope. It's different from Lent. And if you recall, in decades past, the color of the stole was the same color as Lent, which was purple, which is a color of preparation, a color of mourning. Advent is a season of hope, however, and that's why, accordingly, the liturgy has been changed to show that, yes, it is a season for preparation, but not a season for mourning. It is a season to look forward to the coming of Jesus, our Christ. Christmas leads me, of course, to the decorations and the joy of the season, but also to gift-giving. I hate to say it, but my attention is focused on gifts. Gifts to be purchased. Purchased for Eddie and Opal, my daughter, my wife, my paralegal who's now been with me 20 years, and other relatives and other friends. And there's a part of me that wants to give very strong hints of what I would like for Christmas. And that's one part of the sermon I want to give at the beginning where everybody's paying attention. People like gifts. You and I like gifts. King Eddie told me he was looking forward to gifts. He likes Santa Claus, and so do I. I think that sometimes if I did not believe in Santa Claus, then my childhood would be over, and that would be sad. I look at the news that occurred this week about the police officer in New York. You may have seen the photograph and heard the story. And I went on the internet to get a little bit more information. And what I found on the internet is that there was a story was also reprinted in the Globe in England. And this is how the Globe reports it. It said a tourist snapshot of a New York City police officer giving new boots to a barefoot homeless man in Times Square created an online sensation. Jennifer Foster of Arizona, who, by the way, found out is in law enforcement, we don't know exactly what role she plays, was in New York with her husband on November 14th when she came across a shoeless man in Times Square. As she was about ready to approach him to give him some money, she said the officer, Larry DiPrimo, came up to the man with a pair of all-weather boots and thermal socks on a frigid night. She stepped back and recorded the picture on her cell phone. As of November 29th, more than 325,000 people have seen that picture on Facebook. What happened is he saw the homeless man barefoot, and there were some people actually making fun of the guy. And he went into a store and he bought the best boots he could find. He told the clerk what he wanted the boots for, and the clerk gave him the clerk's own discount. So the $100 pair of boots was only $75. Only $75 paid by Larry DiPrimo's personal funds, not any departmental funds. That is an assistant to Santa Claus. At Christmas time, we know that this is the birth of Christ. And this is the time of year that my wife is prompting me to place lights on a Christmas tree, decorate the house. But this is also a time for me to think about and prepare for the incarnation, the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. Now that's a tall order during this very busy season. It might be easier to think about the theological implications of the incarnation, the second person of the mysterious Trinity, on a quiet day in July. Maybe. But maybe the rush of the Christmas season is what we need to confront the incarnation, to confront what happened to that family even in the holy time. But let's move back to Scripture. The passage I chose for today is from the prophet Hosea. Let's say a couple words about who Hosea was. His ministry as a prophet extended from as few as 35 years to as many as 66 years. Now that's a 31-year span. But the Scripture theologians can't be more certain of that, but they know that what he wrote about and what he mentioned in the kings and the political leaders at the time lead them to believe that that's when his ministry occurred. During Hosea's time, the Assyrian military made numerous attacks on the land where he lived. And the Israeli kings and soldiers were not able to protect him or his fellow citizens from attack. Therefore, Hosea and his family and friends lived under constant threat of assault, and in many cases, actual assault. Also, during Hosea's life, there was governmental turmoil. He lived under six kings during that 30-year period. One king, by the name of Zechariah, was murdered after only 6 months on the power throne. The person who was believed to have caused King Zechariah's death was King Shalom. King Shalom reigned for only 1 month and then was assassinated. So during all of this time is when Hosea preached. And the principal message that he had was of God's mercy. And he was convinced that regardless of how faithless people were to God, including the nation of Israel, God still loved his people. His main advocacy was to turn the Israelite people back to God. Now, even in his criticism of the people, Hosea never excluded himself. He included himself in everything that he said. When he preached, he said, "Come, let us return to the Lord." For he recognized that he must also keep renewing himself to the Lord. He carefully included himself as one in need. He told the people that when all of us return to the Lord, he will heal us. Most importantly, Hosea wanted the people to grasp that the main reason, the foremost reason they should return back to God was so that we may live before him. And if Hosea were preaching to us today, he would say the same thing. Let us return to the Lord so we may live before him and have life. Come, let us return to the Lord. The Lord will heal us. And isn't that the great message of Advent? Come, let us return to the Lord, for the Lord is coming to give us life. Christmas is a season of gifts, and the primary gift of Christmas is Jesus himself. And Jesus was born so we may have life, to be fully human beings, because that's what Jesus wants of us, to be fully alive. Now, even today, 2012, there are people who deny God and people who deny Jesus. And denying Jesus and God, what they're saying, and the influence of the Holy Spirit, what they're saying is God is not involved in our world. We're here by ourselves, and this is just the way we live. In a sense, God has abandoned us. And we think, well, this is a more modern look at the divine. That is the same view that people had 2,700 years ago when Hosea lived. And that's a long time ago. Many people had the same idea at that time. God has left us. And that's when Hosea was answering the critics. And that's when he said that God's appearing will be as sure as the dawn. Day in and day out, the sun comes up. Day in and day out, God is there for us. Hosea was absolutely certain that God was present to him and to everyone around him. He was confident that Yahweh was active in the world. Allow me to give just a little bit more history here. During the lifetime of Hosea, many people began to worship Baal, B-A-A-L. That was a fertility cult god of the northern region of Israel. Hosea felt awful because he knew that people were violating one of the major commandments, the commandment that said of the Lord God that says, "You shall have no other gods before me." And Hosea strongly suspected that part of Israel's downfall was due to the people's adoration of false gods, false fertility gods. So in response, Hosea told the people that Yahweh's appearing will come to us like showers, like spring rains that water the earth. He wanted people to feel that God is around them just like drops of rain surround us and drench us in a downpour. Now, just think of the people at that time, without an umbrella, without a raincoat. And if the clouds rained, what happened? You got totally, absolutely soaked. And what he was telling the people is God's grace and God's love is totally soaking us if we're accepting God. He was really trying to tell the people, be soaked, be drenched in God's love. Hosea was also keenly aware of the covenant that the Israeli people had with God. And the essentials of the covenant we all know. I am your God, and you are my people. And he saw that people were not living that covenant. They were not responding to God's invitation to them. He wanted people to know that the covenant was a real covenant. He felt at one point in time they may have followed the covenant, but not anymore. And so what he told them, sarcastically, I think, was that their love for God was like the morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. Those of you who have gotten to know me know I am not a morning person. I do not get up at 4 in the morning or 5 in the morning, 6 on Sundays when I have the 8 o'clock service. I was out in deer hunting season trying to harvest a deer. I was at a house of a friend up north, and I told him I'm not a morning person. He made very sure I was up. So I was out in the woods before in dark, before the sun came up and up in a tree stand. And I experienced, and this was neat, I experienced what Hosea was writing about. And that was, there was morning dew on the grass. And then as the sun came up, the dew went away. The water disappeared. And I understand what Hosea was saying. The morning dew is there, but your love for God evaporates as soon as the sun comes up. Hosea really wanted his people to strongly understand God and understand the covenant, and strongly wanted them to rediscover who Yahweh was, to rediscover the real God, not the false gods. He wrote in the short passage today, just six verses, "Let us press on to know the Lord." And then also in this passage, he spoke on behalf of God. And these are the words of the Lord announced by Hosea. "For I, your God, desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." The implications for this, for us on this first Sunday of Advent, are just as obvious. God wants us to know Him, and that is one reason why Jesus was born, to give us a more profound understanding of who God is, what God is as a relation to us, and how we are to respond to God, and how we can be truly alive in life with God. So as we continue to try to understand God as much as any human being can attempt to understand the divine, we are called to live out the simple covenant that God is God, and we are His people, that God freely offers us His love, and we are to respond to His love. We are not to adore false gods, and we are not to abandon our covenant with God. As Congregationalists, we should appreciate Hosea, because he asked us to return to the one God, and to do so because it was a covenantal God, and we are a covenantal people. In the modern world in 2012, we do not culturally burn offerings, but we do act similarly to the people of that time. We find our worship often flowing toward phony replacements for God Himself. And Hosea would tell us that we cannot stand for the bogus or the sham or the counterfeit, nor should we be tricked into adoring what is false, anything that turns us back from encountering God. Hosea only wanted to have a face-to-face confrontation with God, a face-to-face relationship with God, the one true God. And because Hosea found the genuine God, he wanted to offer himself back to God in God's own language, steadfast love. There's a theologian, a modern theologian, Hagen Stack, who died in 1992. He wrote a book called Prophetic Voices of the Bible. In there, he talked about the word steadfast love. He said it's really difficult to render into English, and it was only used in Scripture in very, very sparse places. And he said this, "Like many keywords in the Bible, it is not one in common use. In Hosea, the word we translate as steadfast love is a special term used in the Hebrew Bible to express the unshakable loyalty that should bind together the two parties of a covenant." He felt that Israel is what it is only because it was a covenantal people. And in the covenant of the steadfast love, God has committed himself to us, in return is asking us to commit ourselves back to God. Hosea at that time knew that there was a Christ coming. But he did not know when. And obviously, he died well before Jesus was born. But he knew that there was an overwhelming act coming where God would show us grace and love in the embodiment of a person, not just through the covenant. Hosea was telling the people that God wants us to belong completely to him. And this is what faith really meant. Words are important, but acts are even more important. Now, in addition, Hosea also used the word knowing, in addition to the word steadfast love. And by the word knowing, what Hagenstack said is that this is the same concept of knowing that's in the Old Testament, where it said Adam knew his wife Eve, and in the New Testament, where it said Joseph did not know his wife Mary. In other words, this is the strongest way of knowing with heart and soul and mind, to give oneself completely over to someone else. So during this Advent season, we are asked to prepare not only for Christmas Eve celebration and Christmas Eve worship and Christmas Day opening of gifts and gift giving, but to keep in mind that the bedrock of Christmas is God's proving his love for us, this steadfast love for us, through the gift of Jesus himself, the Son of God who dwells among us, the Son of God who knows us better than we know ourselves, the Son of God who is part of the Creator, and we are the created. And what happened is that the created and the Creator lived together and suffered together and died together. We are called to know God through Jesus. In fact, that's the special gift of Christmas, the knowledge of the knowing of God coming to this earth. So while you and I may spend a lot of time frustrating ourselves in an attempt to purchase the best gift we can, and I do mostly enjoy shopping, not all the time. I know that Nordstrom is coming and I don't like shoe shopping. The best gift is Jesus himself. And that is the best gift by God gifting his own son. So while King Eddie and I and you and all of us who believe in Santa anxiously await whatever gifts we're going to get, we did receive the gift of the Christ child. And all that God wants from us, and I say all because it is so hard to do, is to return his steadfast love to us. To return his steadfast love to God. And no less than that is not worthy of God.